Well, this morning we're going to Acts chapter number 8. Acts chapter number 8. And if you haven't memorized the memory verses for this month, maybe as we go through these verses this morning, that might help. Acts chapter number 8. Thank you for turning there. Acts chapter number 8. Last week we looked at Philip and Simon, the sorcerer. This morning we're looking at Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. Acts chapter number 8. Let's read from verses 26 to 31. Acts chapter number 8, beginning in verse 26. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise and go toward the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went. And behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority, under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning, and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near, and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him, and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, Understandest what thou readest? Verse 31. And he said, How can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pray that you would speak to us, Lord, through the divine and holy inspired Word of God. Lord, we thank you that the same author of the Word of God, the Holy Spirit, He is the same one who lives inside every believer this morning. Father, we thank you that He will lead us into all truth. But Lord, help us to be careful to open our hearts to the truth of the Word of God this morning. So that, Lord, you may do your work and your good pleasure in our lives as a result. Father, I do pray if there's anyone present with us today that does not know Christ as their personal Savior. Lord, if there's anyone present today that is not 100% sure that their sins are forgiven and that they have eternal life, Lord, I pray that they, like the eunuch of old, would choose to believe in Christ and be saved once and for all this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, some of us have favorite stories in the Bible, and perhaps this is one of yours. Certainly the story of Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch is a well-known one, and it is an amazing one. It's certainly one of my favorites. Here in the book of Acts, chapter number 8, as we look at different highlights now in the book of Acts, we know that as Saul of Tarsus, who later became the Apostle Paul, made havoc upon the church and persecution came to the church in Jerusalem, the Lord used that in a positive way to send out His people far and wide with the gospel. Now, Philip was one of them. We know him as Philip the Evangelist. As he went out of Jerusalem, the big city, and took the gospel into Samaria, what we know is that many believed. Yes, some did not believe, but many did. And there was one deceiver named Simon that we heard last Sunday who pretended to be a Christian but wasn't saved. Now, we learned about that. That you can look right on the outside and say the right words, but then on the inside, you can be far from it. Well, we learned about Simon last week. Today, we're going to learn about Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. And the main focus of our message this morning is to see how the Spirit of God works in the hearts of men. And this morning we're going to see how the Spirit of God first worked in the heart of a Christian, Philip, and then we're going to see how the Spirit of God worked in the heart of a lost man, the eunuch. All right, so let's see first of all the Holy Spirit's work in the life of the soul winner. Here in Acts chapter number 8, verse 26, notice what the Bible tells us about the Spirit's work in Philip's heart. Verse 26, And the angel of the Lord spake unto whom? Unto Philip, first of all, saying, Arise, Go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. Now this calling may not seem unusual to you and I, but if we understand what's taking place, we see that this was a unique situation. Remember, Philip had encountered many, many people that were amazed at the miracles, that believed on Christ as their Savior, that were baptized, and no doubt were the fledgling believers that were now assembling at the first Baptist church in the city of Samaria, in the region of Samaria. So here he had a bunch of new believers, and we could say, by what we saw took place last week, revival was breaking out in Samaria. People were being saved. Yes, there were those that rejected the gospel. Yes, there were ones like Simon, but people were being saved. And God's work was moving forward, and suddenly the Spirit of God said to Philip, I want you to go to the desert. And Philip could have, in his own self, said, hang on a second, I want to stay here. I want to continue to work. Now notice the verse before, verse 25. The Bible says of Peter and John, and when they testified and preached the word of the Lord, they returned to Jerusalem and preached the gospel in many villages along the way in the area of Samaria. And so Philip and John and Peter had moved on back to Jerusalem. Philip was now called to go to the desert and preach the gospel to someone whom the Lord was working in. But as you can see, Philip had to make a choice. He had to respond to the leading of the Holy Spirit of God. Not only that, but to go out in the middle of nowhere. The middle of nowhere, out to the desert. There's a place full of people, and then there's the desert. And so we can see in the life of Philip the evangelist, a man who is surrendered to the Spirit of God. A man who is willing to allow God's Spirit to lead him. How do we know that he was? Well, notice his immediate response in verse 27. What did he do? And he arose and went. He arose and went. Now, if you and I are going to be the witnesses that God wants us to be in any situation that we are in, wherever we live, wherever God puts us, we need to be sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit of God. Amen? Because sometimes the Lord will just simply tap you on the shoulder and say, hey, I want you to go over here to witness to this person. And they may be just next door. They may be just across on the other side of the workroom where you work. They may be just over yonder down at the shops. They may be just over there, and the Holy Spirit saying, I want you to witness to them right now. I want you to go over there and witness to that person. Now, if you are a Christian, the Bible says the Holy Spirit lives inside you and I. If you're born again, that means he will lead us. Philip was a man willing to be led by the Spirit of God. But the question is, when he does lead, are we willing to be like Philip? Are we willing to say, all right, despite my insecurities, despite my fears, I'm going to go over to that person and give them an invitation. I'm going to go over to that person and give them a tract. I'm going to go over now, and I'm not going to delay. I'm not going to put it off any longer. Amen. I'm going to go right now and give that person the gospel, and let's see what the Lord will do. Well, that's the kind of man that Philip was. So we see the Holy Spirit working, first of all, inside the life of the soul winner. Christian, whom is God laying on your heart to witness to this week? Are you sensitive to his leading? Well, let's follow Philip's example. Amen. He arose and went. Don't delay when God is telling you to witness to that person. So often we do, and we do regret it. But God is gracious. He will nudge us again. We just need to be willing and surrendered to do what God wants us to do, to speak up when he wants us to speak up. Well, we see the Holy Spirit's leading. Notice the Holy Spirit's boldness in Philip. Verse 27, we see he arose and went. The Bible tells us about a man of position, a man from Ethiopia. He was the royal treasurer to the queen. This was a man of importance. This was a man of royalty. He was traveling in a chariot, unlike Philip, who was running in the desert. He was in a chariot. He was accompanied, no doubt, by an entourage, a group of bodyguards. You remember the parable of the Good Samaritan. Remember how there was someone traveling from Jericho to Jerusalem? And there were bandits in the desert. There were robbers and thieves. No doubt this treasurer of the Queen of Ethiopia, who had charge of all of her riches, no doubt he wasn't traveling alone. He was traveling with a group. He was traveling with bodyguards, if you will. And there in the chariot, he was reading the book of Isaiah. What was he doing? Well, he had come to Jerusalem for to worship. And God was working in Philip's heart. And he said, I want you to go to the desert. That's all he told him. He did not know who was there. He did not know what would happen. But when he got there, he saw a chariot. And then the Spirit of God said, in verse 29, notice there with me, once he did what God wanted him to do, the Holy Spirit told him some more. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. So Philip had to make another decision. All right, I'm in the desert. But now God is saying he wants me to go and speak to this man of importance, whoever he may be. Now understand, if you and I were Philip, we may have thought for a second, well, what are they going to assume I'm doing here in the desert? Who do they think that I am running towards the chariot? Later on, we find out that he ran. He didn't walk. He didn't stroll. He didn't go around the circumference and slowly work his way in and sneak up behind. The Bible says in verse number 30, Philip, what did he do? He ran. So if I was Philip, I was thinking, okay, I'm alone in the desert. I'm running towards the chariot. What would these people think? Could it be possible they would think that this is an attack? Though he was alone, maybe there were other people hiding. Now remember, the desert in the Bible is the wilderness. It's not just a flat plain of sandy sand dunes. No, we're talking about rocks and trees. We're talking about places people could hide in. What would they think? What would Philip be? Well, the Bible tells us that the Spirit spoke to Philip, and Philip ran thither to him. Notice the boldness that Philip had, the courage that he had. Brethren, where did that courage come from? Where did that boldness come from? Well, remember the Lord said, but ye shall receive power, Acts 1:8, after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and in order to be my witnesses, his power will not only lead you, but will strengthen you when you need it. You see, so often we aren't the witnesses we are or ought to be because we're not trusting by faith in the power of the Spirit of God. The strength that God already gives us. Look, if He's leading you and I to witness to someone this week, God will give us the courage to speak up. God will give us the boldness to face a difficult situation. You know, you need boldness to speak up at work. I think that's one of the most difficult situations to witness in. I don't know what about you, perhaps in your family as well, people you know and love. But in order to speak up for the Lord and often to stand alone, brethren, we need a courage that you and I don't have. I'm sorry you don't have it, neither do I. Well, Pastor, you're an outspoken person. Well, not really. I'm just the only person speaking. That's the only thing. Right? You know, we're not all of us are outgoing. Not all of us are self-confident, and that's how God wants it. He doesn't want us to be confident. He wants us to be confident in His strength. And if we are putting our faith in the Lord and say, Lord, you help me to do what you want me to do, that's the faith that God is going to bless. That's the faith that God will use in the soul winner, you see? A boldness in the Spirit of God. And the same Spirit of God that dwelt inside Philip is the same Spirit of God that dwells in you and I. But are you willing to trust in the promises of God for boldness, for courage to speak up? Teenagers, maybe that's the courage you need to speak up to your friends at school. Well, what are they going to say if they find out I'm a Christian? If they find out that I'm a witness? How are they going to treat me? Well, don't worry about that. You leave that in the hands of God. You need to trust the Lord, young people, to tell others. God has given us power to be witnesses. Remember in Acts chapter 4 how they prayed, the young church, how they prayed. The Bible says that they were filled with the Holy Spirit and they spake the word of God with boldness. We need to be filled with the Spirit of God, to follow His leading, to be bold, to do what He wants us to do. And notice thirdly, as the Spirit of God worked inside Philip, He gave Philip the words to speak. You know, Lord, where do you want me to go? All right, that question was answered. Lord, who do you want me to witness to? All right, that question was answered. But I don't know about you. I've got a problem with the third one. Lord, what do you want me to say? Lord, what do I say to this person? You know, I've got 1,000 thoughts about what they might be thinking right now. What do I say? Well, again, that's something we need to leave in the hands of the Lord. That's something that the Lord told His apostles. Don't pre-plan what you're going to say when they bring you before the judges, before the councils. Don't pre-plan what to say. I will give you the words to say in that moment. You just be filled with the Holy Spirit. You just trust in the Spirit of God. So in verse number 34, as Philip came to the eunuch and miraculously invited Philip to join him in the chariot, the Bible says, back up to verse 30. Look with me in verse 30. As he ran towards the chariot and he saw the eunuch read from the scroll of Isaiah, he said, "Understandest what thou readest. Understandest what thou readest." And here we see another indication of the working of the Spirit of God. You see, the Bible tells us we are to be His witnesses. We have everything we need to witness for the Lord. And if we trust in the Holy Spirit of God, He will give us the words to speak. Now, would you agree with me that from a distance, Philip wouldn't have known what the eunuch was reading? Would you agree? He couldn't see it. As he got a little closer, he saw, okay, he's reading. Maybe I shouldn't disturb him. Maybe that's how he was feeling. All right, I better do what God's called me to do. He gets closer. He gets closer to the chariot. He sees him reading and, wow, he's reading the Bible. Have you ever been in that situation before? Someone's reading the Bible on the bus. Someone's reading the Bible at work. Hey, you never know. The Lord leads us into situations like that. And anyway, as he got closer, he saw him reading the prophet Isaiah, the book of Isaiah. And that's when the Holy Spirit simply said, ask him if he understands what he's reading. Friends, that is not rocket science. Would you agree that you and I could ask a question like that? This isn't rocket science, but this is witnessing. Do you understand what you are reading? Now, you and I naturally will think, yes, but if I ask them that question, what if I don't understand what they're reading? You know, I don't know everything there is about the Bible. Perhaps that's your fear this morning. And look, that's a human fear. It's not a spiritual one. Because remember, who is it the one that gives us the words to speak? It's the Lord. Friends, you don't need to know everything about the Bible in order to witness. Philip, by what we understand, was indeed a new believer. Christians hadn't been around for that long yet. He was not Philip the Apostle, by the way. This is a different Philip. This was a man who had just been saved and had gone out to do what God had called him to do. And so how much of the book of Isaiah did he know apart from the messianic prophecies, I wonder? Maybe he did as a Jew. Maybe he didn't. But the reality is Philip did not know what the eunuch would say next, what questions the eunuch had. And he left that in the hands of God and simply allowed God to use him to do what he could do. And that's how we need to approach witnessing. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. God will do it through you. But so often we miss out on those witnessing opportunities because we don't want to step out by faith. We don't want to go to the person God wants us to go to. We fear speaking up. Isn't that true?
So here's Philip, evidencing for us in the Word of God the Holy Spirit's work in the life of the believer. Christian, are you willing to rest in the wisdom of God? Have you ever been surprised at how the Lord has given you the words to speak? I hope you have. I hope there's some nodding. Yes, you know, there have been times I've been amazed at the wisdom God has given me, the words, because it's His work done through us. And we need to make sure that we're not slack as witnesses, but we, you know, are prepared to give an answer to every man that asketh the reason of the hope that is in us with meekness, with fear. We need to be prepared. We need to be in church, amen, to be taught and challenged about the Word of God and learn. We need to be in church every time the doors are open. That's our preparation to witness. We need to walk with the Lord and be in His Word as God teaches us His Word, as God helps us to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. We need to be prepared witnesses, but we need to be careful not to think, well, God cannot use me. That's not true. That's not true. Philip was a surrendered servant, and God was pleased to work through. Are you willing, Christian, to be a vessel? Simply a vessel that God can say, yes, I want to use you today. You spent some time with me in your word. You're walking out filled with the word of God, filled with the Holy Spirit of God. You're going out into your day. I've got someone over here, and I'll let you know who that person is if you're surrendered. Christian, are you surrendered? As Philip did. We all have the opportunity to be a witness. We've got the power of God, His authority. We have opportunities and we have His word. And friend, God has called each of us as Christians to be a witness for the Lord. Well, that's Philip. That is Philip and how God has worked in his heart. But it's wonderful to know and encouraging to see that at the same time as God was working in Philip's heart, who else was he working in? He was working in the eunuch's heart. You see, there are two people in this story. There's the soul winner and there's the one that needs to be saved. There's the witness and there's the one who needs to know the gospel. God is working in both hearts. And that gives us confidence, does it not? To be a witness. Because God is already working in the hearts of men. Notice secondly this morning, the Bible teaches us how the Holy Spirit works in the life of the lost. Notice verse number 27. The Bible tells us, once again, that he had come to Jerusalem to worship. Now, this man was an important government official. He wasn't anyone. We could say he was the minister of finance in Ethiopia. He had the charge over all the treasure of the queen of Ethiopia. He had access to the greatest riches in the land, gold, silver. He had all the spoils of the foreign nations of the nation of Ethiopia at his fingertips. He was an important man. He was a rich man. Notice what the Bible tells about him in verse 28, that he had come to Jerusalem to worship. He had gone to Jerusalem for one reason alone. It wasn't for business. It wasn't to broker a deal with the government in Judea to help the nation of Ethiopia prosper. No, he was there not for a financial reason. He was there for a spiritual reason. He was a man that was seeking the Lord. Just like Lydia that we saw on Mother's Day, who was wealthy, who had means, those riches could not fill the hole in his heart that only God could. You see, there's something missing inside of us. And it's God. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible says we are all separated from God by our sins and our iniquities. All our iniquities have taken us away, Isaiah has said. So we are lost without God. He was a man who knew that. Though he had riches, he had wealth, those riches could not buy him happiness. And so what was going on? He was seeking and God was seeking him. Amen. He was seeking and God was seeking him. So he had come to Jerusalem to worship. Well, what took place in Jerusalem? Well, there was a place at the temple called the court of the Gentiles. That's where this eunuch could enter in. He couldn't go any further than that, but there was a place where he could go into. There was a place where he could gather to hear the word of God being taught. And here, as he was returning, notice what was in his hands. Once again, what was it? It was the book of Isaiah, the scroll of Isaiah. Would you agree that this man was genuine? Yes or no? Now, in that day, I dare say it would have cost a considerable amount of money to have your own copy of the book of Isaiah. He was not a Jew. He was a eunuch, a servant of the Queen of Ethiopia. But he was a man who was making some choices. He was a man who was following the light that God had given him. Now, here's an important lesson for us as we see the Holy Spirit's leading in this lost man's life. Because many times we ask the question, well, if God has only one way of salvation for the whole world, how is everyone going to know? I mean, what about those people in Africa? What about those people in South America in the jungles that are still living like they've always lived, like natives? What about these people? What about that people over there? Well, here in the Word of God, God gives us the answer. You see, he was a man who was following the light that he was given. You see, before he went to Jerusalem, there was some other light that God had given him. And in fact, this is the light that God has given all mankind. First of all, the Bible tells us in the book of Romans, he has given us the light of creation. The Bible says, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen. Are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that we are without excuse. You see, the world has no excuse in knowing for sure that there is a holy God because of God's creation. His creation is a wordless book, if you will, day after day, declaring the knowledge of God, night unto night, showing God's glory. The other day we went outside and brought in a few things from the backyard last night. And if you looked up in the sky, there were a few clouds around, but you would have seen the brilliancy of the night sky, the stars shining radiantly, beholding the glory of God. That's what the Bible tells us man does when they look up. You see, there is the light of creation. And then there is the light of conscience. The Bible says that God's law is written in our hearts, in the book of Romans, that God has put a law in our hearts. That's the light of God's conscience. Our conscience. You see, the conscience isn't something we invented. The conscience is something that God put in us. The light of our conscience. You see, as parents, those of you who are parents, you would have been quick to realize that you don't need to teach your child to do wrong in order for them to realize they have done wrong. No, they will do wrong, and they will realize it without you even telling them. Now, the atheists of today say, no, they're just conditioned by the society we live in. Well, then why is it that my little son knows he's doing something wrong before we even tell him that it's wrong? He cannot speak. He cannot communicate. How much does he understand? But why does he know that there's something wrong and he looks up with a cheeky face and checks with us whether that's right or wrong or not? Where does that come from? Where does that come from in you and I? When we sin, steal, lie, cheat, and no one knows. It's a complete secret. And yet there's something inside saying, you've been bad. You've done wrong. God calls it sin. Where does that come from? Now, I guarantee you, if throughout the history of mankind, we could have gotten rid of this annoying voice within, we would have by now. Absolutely. Somehow, somewhere, technologically, medically, if we could extract that from our very being, we would have. Then we'd be finally free from the conscience. They can live as you please, without regret, without guilt. That's what mankind wants to do today. But it's impossible because the light of man's conscience. God put it in there. Why? So that we would know through creation that He is an almighty God, but through the conscience that He is a holy God. You see, right and wrong tells us that God is a God of justice. Not everything is right, not everything is wrong. And if God has put a conscience within us, we know that we have done wrong. Is that correct? We already know. And God's word tells us. So he was a man of position, a man of authority that had responded to the light that God had given him. The light of creation. He saw God's creation around him and he said, there must be a God. The light of God's conscience. Well, God must be holy. He must be a lawgiver because there's a law written in my heart. There's right and wrong. I better find out who this God is before I get into trouble and I die and it's too late. Can you see that this morning? He was following the light that God had given him. So as a consequence, he made some choices. What did he choose to do? Let's go to a place where I can learn about God. Let's go to a place where I can find out more. And at considerable time, cost and expense, he was seeking the Lord. Friend, let me ask you this morning, are you seeking the Lord? If you died right now, are you 100% sure that you have a home in heaven? Do you know whether your sins are completely under the blood, past, present and future, because you have personally accepted Christ's payment on your behalf? When did that happen? Did it ever happen? Have you repented of your sins and turned to Christ personally and asked him to be your Savior once and for all? Well, you see, the eunuch was getting there. He was getting there because he was following the light that God had given him. And that's the answer to the question, how will everyone hear the gospel? Well, friends, God doesn't need to bring the gospel to them if they're not going to respond to creation and conscience. Can I be honest? God wants to save everyone, but he's not going to send a missionary somewhere where no one's going to listen. If people have closed off their hearts to the gospel because their rejection of creation and their rejection of conscience, then they're not going to follow the light. God's not going to give more light. God's not going to shed more light. People need to respond to the light that they're given. And if they do, every time in the Word of God we see, just like Philip, God sends a witness. He sends a missionary. That's why we need to be sensitive to the Spirit's leading. You need to be sensitive to the Spirit's leading. Who is he leading us to? What did the Lord say of us? In the book of Matthew chapter 6, ye are the salt of the earth and the light of the world. Ye are the light. So if someone is following the light that God gives them and is seeking the answers, just like the eunuch said, how can I know what this is saying unless someone guide me? Now that's back to us. We are the light of the world. We are to help someone come to the Lord. But notice what the Lord was doing in this man's heart. He was continuing to give him light. He responded to creation. He responded to his conscience. He went to Jerusalem for to worship. Now he had the word of God in his hands. Amen. That's the natural progression for someone who's seeking the Lord. They're going to wonder and want to know what the Bible says. Friend, if that's you, keep going. Follow the light that God has given you. Follow the light and don't stop. If you stop, if you say, no, that's enough, I don't want to know anymore. Friend, that wouldn't be Philip's fault if the eunuch said that. If the eunuch said to Philip, look, I'm right. I don't want anyone telling me what to do. I'm going to read the book of Isaiah from cover to cover. And that's it. I'll find out myself, thank you. You see, if the eunuch was too proud to have someone come and help him and show him in the Word of God how he can know he can have a Savior, then that would have been the eunuch's fault. He would have said no to the light of God's witness. I remember sitting next to a man on the bus going to Bible college in Sydney. And he, in fact, was one of those people uniquely that was reading the Bible on the bus. And as I walked down the aisle to sit on the bus, I noticed he had his Bible open. I said, "Praise the Lord, I'll sit here." And as I got to know him and I got to chat to him, tragically, this was his response. "Look, I've always made it a goal to read the Bible one day, so I'm going to read it now from cover to cover." And then I started to share with him a few things and he said, "No, I don't want to hear anything." And I said, well, why not? I mean, maybe I could share a few things that I'm learning from Bible college. Would you be interested?" "No, I'm not. I'll find out for myself, thank you." Friend, that is a word in the Bible called pride. That is really not a seeking heart, but a critical heart, a closed off heart. I trust that's not your heart this morning if you're seeking the Lord. You see, the eunuch was humble enough. Not only was he seeking, but he had a measure of humility, because in his position and in his authority, he looked at Philip and he said, "Well, come up here and join me. I want you to join me in the chariot. I want you to sit with me in this royal position. And I want you to show me what this says, please." He was a humble man. Though he had a high position, there was a humility about him. Verse number 31, "And he said, 'How can I accept some man should guide me?' And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him." Friends, the Lord said, "Seek and ye shall find. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near." If God is showing you some light to follow, to come to Christ as your personal Savior, don't shut off what God is doing. Don't run from it. Friend, in his love, he's drawing you to yourself. But are you willing to follow the light? Are you willing to ask questions? Well, the eunuch was. Maybe you're here this morning, and during the invitational time, you might like to just put up your hand. No one will be looking around, but you might like to just put up your hand and say, like this eunuch did, "Look, I don't know whether I'm saved, but I've got some questions. I'd like to ask some questions. I'd like to find out more how I can know my sins are forgiven and I have a home in heaven once and for all." Friend, the opportunity is available. And the eunuch took that opportunity. God sent along a witness, and the eunuch said, "Hey, I'm not going to miss this opportunity. Someone's asking me if I understand what I'm reading. That means they must know a little bit about this book of Isaiah. I'm not going to miss this. I need to find out more." And he didn't let go of the light. He embraced more of it. And that's what happens. When someone follows the light, they're given more light. When they follow that light, they're given more light. And ultimately, that soul will be saved. "Seek and ye shall find." That's God's work in the life of someone seeking Christ. But don't get too discouraged, Christian. When someone shows an initial interest but doesn't follow through, this is the work of God. You and I can't muster up an interest. We can't do the work of the Holy Spirit. We need to simply be where God wants us to be and say what God wants us to say at every opportune moment. Well, the good news is the eunuch was seeking so much, he went all the way. Amen? He went all the way with God. Notice he was given light and he was given more light. And in humility, he responded to it. And there Philip spoke to him about whom the scriptures were speaking of. Notice what the Bible says in verse 32. The place of the scripture which he read was this: "He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth." Notice verse 34. "And the eunuch answered Philip and said, 'I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself or of some other man?'" Wow. So suddenly we see the eunuch continuing to ask questions, but there's some understanding coming. Wouldn't you agree? Yeah. Now, the natural man would say, "Well, Isaiah's speaking of himself, but could it be someone else? Who is this person?" It's wonderful to see God working in everything in this witnessing situation. In the eunuch, in Philip, through the word of God. And here we see
that God was bringing this eunuch to the point of salvation. Now, verse 35, then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And Christian, that is simply all that God has called us to do. To take the word of God, what is already written in his word, and to declare the work and the declaration of the gospel in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what we're to do. If you have been saved, you know what the gospel is. You know what the word of God says about the Lord Jesus Christ. He simply wants you to declare it. And it's all here in the word of God. Amen. And Philip sat with him and read from the same book that the eunuch was reading and declared unto him Jesus. Friends, it's the power of the Holy Spirit and the power of the word of God that will bring that lost one to the Savior. Amen. We are to be witnesses for Christ, telling others what he's done for us. But we are also to be soul winners, telling others what Christ has done for them in the gospel. So we need to declare to them who Jesus is through the word of God. Now here in the book of Isaiah, this was a messianic prophecy. This was a prophecy of the Savior from Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 5. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. No, Isaiah wasn't writing about himself. The Bible tells us it is full of prophetic truths, statements made about Jesus Christ hundreds and even thousands of years before he lived. This was one of these prophecies. That's what the eunuch was reading. Notice what the eunuch said to Philip in verse number 36. And they went on their way and came to unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? Now, why did the eunuch want to be baptized? That's a big leap from listening to the preaching and then saying, okay, I want to be baptized. What happened between the first question and the next? What happened? Well, you see, Philip declared unto him Jesus. All we like sheep have gone astray. Eunuch, we are all sinners. All we like sheep have gone astray. He was wounded for our transgression. That includes you, my friend. That includes you, my friend. We are all sinners. We are all doomed in our sins. And it's the Lord Jesus Christ who took upon himself our penalty for sin. The Bible says that he was wounded for our transgressions. The Bible says he was bruised for our iniquities. You see, the eunuch got the message that not only was he a sinner, but the one who died on the cross in just outside of Jerusalem was the Savior of mankind. He was the one that the prophet was speaking about. He was the one that personally had died for him. And all we like sheep had gone astray. We have turned everyone to our own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. You see, the eunuch realized that he needed a Savior. So when he asked Philip about baptism, he was simply revealing to Philip what was already in his heart. And Philip cautioned him, and he said in the next verse, notice what the Bible says in verse 37, and Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And then he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. So you see, the eunuch was simply making a profession of faith based upon what had already taken place in his heart. You see, he didn't just pray a prayer to save him. He already believed in his heart. He already believed that he was a sinner in need of a Savior. He already believed that Jesus Christ was that Savior, and he confessed Christ as his personal Savior. We know that he believed in the Lord. We know that he was a believer now in Jesus Christ because Philip preached unto him the message of the gospel through the book of Isaiah. So the eunuch was saved and he desired to be baptized. Now notice there in the word of God very carefully
baptism does not save us. Philip said to the eunuch, hang on a second, do you believe? Now, baptism is not going to wash away your sins. Whether you were sprinkled as a baby or whether you're immersed in the water as an adult, whatever it may be, that does not forgive your sins. No matter what any religion teaches, the Word of God teaches us that baptism is something we do after we become a Christian. It's a symbol. It's a opportunity to show others what God has done in our lives. It's a picture of the gospel. It is not a means of salvation. It's not a way of salvation. Baptism doesn't wash away our sins. You see, this eunuch, first of all, had to believe in the Lord. He had to accept Christ as his personal Savior. And he had. And he had. And so Philip said, all right, then let's have a baptism right here, right now. See, here is water. They went down into the water. Notice verse 38. And he commanded the chariot to stand still. And they went down both into the water. That means that there was enough water for them to step into. It wasn't a little pond. He was not sprinkled. The Bible says that he was baptized. The word baptizo means to dip. In the Greek, it means to immerse completely under the water. He was not sprinkled. Sprinkling is not found in the Bible. Sprinkling is not biblical. It's not God's plan. Baptism means to immerse. Sprinkling is sprinkling. Baptism is immersion under the water. That's what the Word of God teaches. And so he was baptized. Why? Because baptism pictures the gospel. Death, going underwater. Burial, coming up out of the water, pictures the resurrection. That's what baptism is. It's like a snapshot of the gospel. A picture of the gospel. That pictures Christ's death for us. Christ's resurrection for us. And when we are baptized as believers, we are declaring to every witness that is there, not only have I received Christ, but I have now died to sin, and now I am risen spiritually with him. I am in Jesus Christ, and I want to follow him as my Savior. You see, all this was taking place in the eunuch's heart. This was a wonderful thing. He was saved, and now he wanted to be baptized, and he wasn't ashamed of everyone that was with him to see the miracle that had taken place instantaneously in his heart. Everyone stopped. I wonder what his guards were thinking. I wonder what his entourage was thinking as he got out. And he said, look, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I'm not ashamed of my Savior. And he was baptized in front of them all, declaring physically what Christ had done to him spiritually. History tells us the eunuch went back to Africa, to Ethiopia, and he took the gospel with him. Philip didn't go with him. Eunuch went back home. Philip went in another direction, led by the Spirit of God. And that's how the gospel perhaps got to Africa. The lesson for us this morning is that the Spirit of God works in the hearts of men. Friend, no matter who you are this morning, God is working in your heart. The question is he working in your heart like Philip to be a witness to others? Or is he working in your heart this morning like the eunuch, to follow the light that God has given you all the way to the cross to receive Jesus Christ as personal Savior? Where are you at this morning? Do you need someone to take the Bible and show you how you can receive the gift of eternal life once and for all? Well, my friend, we're here to help. We're here to help. If you have questions, the Bible has the answers. Are you like the eunuch, willing to admit that need? Willing to say, hey, I'd like to find out more. If you are, let me encourage you to respond during the invitation this morning. Now, if you're a Christian here this morning, you know that you are saved. You know Christ is your Savior. Let me ask you, what does God want you to do? Maybe like the eunuch, he wants you not to be ashamed and be baptized. Maybe perhaps he wants you to be a witness like Philip and to allow the Lord to lead you this week to someone the way that God used Philip. Let's close in prayer this morning, and then we'll have a few moments to respond to God's word.